Here we are. Welcome tonight to Traveling for Christ Ministries. We're going to call this, Jesus Can Change Your Want To. I'm going to go back in the Old Testament, go back to Daniel, to a couple of different chapters in Daniel. We're going to talk about some stories y'all know about, but we're going to ask a different question tonight. And the fact that, what is the gist of the story? What is this supposed to be telling us? And how does it affect us today? First, we're going to go back to chapter 3, I think it is. There was three young men. Well, let's go back. Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, king of Babylon, he sacked Israel. We know it's Israel. And he brought back a whole lot of people, normally strong-bodied, young, that could make into slaves, this kind of thing, healthy people, and turn them into slaves. Over time, he started noticing some of them were pretty smart, and he started bringing them into his inner realm, you might say, or into his court or whatever. And especially they like really good-looking young men, and they're like smart young men, and there was three of them. I'll give you their Babylonian names, not their Jewish names. The Babylonians gave them Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And you know where we're going. These guys got pretty up in there, and the king liked them and stuff like that, and he started to promote them and this kind of thing. So a lot of people started getting worried and jealous because he was secret counsel, and he kept promoting them up. And they're saying, well, these guys, they worship a different God. If they keep getting popular, then he may get rid of us, and we've got a really good thing going. We don't want to lose what we have. So, come to time, they had to get rid of these three guys. They came up with an idea. They would play on Nebuchadnezzar's ego. And they told him, said, look, this is what we got. They told Nebuchadnezzar, said, we really need to change some things. We want to find out how many people are really true to you. So they talked him into building a statue of him and covered in gold. And then when music played, everybody would have to bow down to his statue and worship him. And if they didn't, they would have to be punished. So of course, they didn't bow down to this statue and this God and this king and whatever. So anyway, they were called before the king. And the king had told him, said, listen, even though you're in my court, if you don't bow down to me and follow the law, you have to be punished and be thrown into a pit of fire. So they told him, said, look, even if you do this, our God will protect us. And even if he does that, we'll never bow down to you. So they were thrown into the fire. Now you got to understand two things happened. Somebody said this to me today. I never thought about this part. A young lady said this to me today. The description is the fire was so hot that it killed a guard. We're telling how did they get these three boys in the fire to begin with? That's the first part of the miracle. While they were in there, it was noticed that there was somebody extra in there. An angelic being. Somebody that did not look like it belonged in this world. And when they brought these three guys out, they didn't even smell like smoke. What's the big gist of the story? It's saw face. Let me tell you about their face. When they were told they were going to be thrown into the fire, they didn't even pay attention to the fire at all. They simply trusted God. They simply had enough faith in God, they turned to God and prayed. They didn't even look at the fire. So you go forward to a few generations. There was another young man brought. He was pretty small when he was brought over. His name was Daniel. And over time, the same thing happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Liked him, kind of promoted him up, but Nebuchadnezzar was gone. Successive kings really liked him. I mean, we get to a king named Darius. And Darius liked him really well. Darius actually promoted him so high that Daniel could run the kingdom. That was a pretty big deal. And Darius got to the point where he didn't even confer with his other advisors and things. He just talked to Daniel. Well, same thing. They had to get rid of him. We got to find a way to do this. We got to get rid of Daniel. So they conspired behind his back, and they went to the king one day, and they said, look, king, we need to, same story. We want to make sure we know who is faithful to you and who worships you and who doesn't. So they come up with an idea to make a law for the next 30 days. The only God you could pray to was King Darius. But Darius says, I need to ask Daniel. And they lied to King, said, oh, don't worry about it. He'll be happy we made this law and all this kind of. They knew that Daniel prayed public, well, not public, but they knew he prayed at least three times a day. That's the first thing. probably a whole lot more than that, because our God says pray without end, continuously. But he prayed for sure 3 times a day. They knew this. So as soon as the king signed the law, they said Daniel has to be arrested. And the king was distraught. Why? But anyway, they sent two soldiers over there. Sure enough, Daniel was praying. Daniel says, all right, whatever, I've not done anything. Bring me back to the king. And the king told him, says, since you have violated the law, I don't have any other choice. I wish it was different. So they took Daniel, and the order was to throw him into a cave with lions that were hungry. Well, Daniel didn't pay attention to the lions. Daniel prayed. And we hear these stories. So later, the king came and he called out to Daniel, and Daniel answered him. And when they moved the stone, Daniel walked out. Daniel said, God sent an angel to close the mouth of the lions. The king was so upset that, and found out that he had been duped by these leaders. He took several of the leaders and their wives and children, threw them in the cave, put the rock in front of them, the animals, killed them, broke every bone in their body. I read the scripture today. And then ate them. But you see, in both cases, nobody looked at the lion, and nobody looked at the fire. See, the thing is, people always ask me, said, and I've had many stories, I go through these scriptures, and I find, they say, well, how come it doesn't work for me that way for me today? It does. Let me tell you the difference. You see, in their lives, in these people's lives, their entertainment, if you want to call it that, was reading the scriptures. The entertainment, if you want to call it that, what occupied them most, more than anything, was learning about God. Okay? And Jesus had not yet walked as a human. So you're talking about, this is what the entertainment was. Today, we have so much other entertainment. You know, this week alone, I turned off cable TV. Okay? I have something on Amazon Fire Stick. I can watch something if I want to. I have a DVD player. But the minute I turned cable off, I had told myself the last couple of years, well, that's how I'm going to stay awake at night and this kind of thing, because I'm up a lot of long hours. And you get addicted to it, just like food or anything else. I turned it off, and it's so liberating that it's not there. We have today so many things in our lives that we don't realize what's going on. They had a depth and a quality of faith. Now, I'm not saying anybody in here is not faithful. That's not what I'm saying. I would never say that, because I knew it would be a lie. But the depth of their faith, it came because it says, Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be provided. First and foremost, our entertainment should be that Scripture. The main thing that keeps us going should be that Scripture. Because you see, in what people call Christianity, I call following of Christ, following the way. The whole thing is not just to read it, but to do something with it. It's like somebody said earlier today, Douglas said earlier, it's kind of like exercising. You have to exercise to improve your body. You have to exercise your faith to improve it. And they did this on a daily basis. Their life was hard, just like ours. Ours is just as hard as theirs was, just in a different way. But today, we have so many things that can catch our attention, and it's gradual. We don't really realize it. See, Satan is good that way. A little hint there, a little hint there. It's like some of these churches we're talking about, they're changing the scripture to get people to come in. Well, they didn't do that all at one time. It was a little here. You have to be tolerant. You have to be this, and you have to understand that this person has the same rights you do, even though they're going against God. Oh, he doesn't say that part. But that's what it's saying. So a little bit at a time, it sneaks in there in our lives, and we don't realize it. We find things to occupy our minds. You know, I have always been an avid reader. Last year or so, I haven't hardly read anything. You know, God tells us in Scripture, I am all things to all men through Jesus Christ. He's everything we need. And they understood this. This is why, see, when something happens to us today, we look at the lion. We believe in God. We believe He'll do something for us, but we don't do. We look at the lion instead of looking at God. We may give God a real quick prayer, but then we're worried about that lion. I've got changes coming up in Deb and I's life. I don't know what's going to happen. But like I told her, every morning when I wake up, I ask God, whatever your will be done. This is what I want, God. And he wants me to talk to him. This is what I would like to happen. But whatever your will, that's what happened. Whatever his will. Christ said the same thing. Romans 10:16-17 says, but not all Israelites accepted the good news. Not everybody you talk to is going to accept the good news. They're just not going to do it. Lord, who has believed our message, consequently faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. You have to participate in it constantly. You have to read it, talk about it, listen to it, put it into action. Some by talking to people, some by showing actions of love. Some by doing this, some by doing it a different way. Not everybody's going to walk down the street talking to people, but you can show actions of love. You can imitate Christ in the love way. You can talk to people more by doing things sometimes than you can by words. James in chapter 1, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and then walks off and forgets immediately what he looked like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. In other words, it says simply that if you listen to it, and you listen to it constantly, and you put it into action, the first thing we have to put into action is we have to talk to God regularly. We have to look in our lives and see what's taking us away from God. It can be simple things. It can be a crazy schedule. In our trucking, it can be a dispatcher we don't like, or it could be the way they're dispatching. It could be a lot of things. It could be we've had an accident or something, and we're looking at the lion, and we're not looking at the Savior. We're not looking at what can protect us from that lion. We're not looking at who would send an angel or close that lion's mouth like they did for Daniel. It's the depth of our faith. It's not that we don't have faith. It's the depth that they had. It's how deep their faith went compared to ours. But how did it get that way? It got that way by constantly practicing every day and teaching ourselves that the Word of God is our enlightenment. The Word of God is the light in our day. What God does for us is the light in our day. Now, I didn't say don't entertain yourself with something else. I didn't say that. I said it's how much you do it. How much time do you spend with God? Literally. And how much time do you spend with whatever else in the world? We all have challenges. And like I said, today's world is no different than back then. It has a different date and has a different way they're entertained. It has a different, there was things that took them away back then. Pagan celebrations, people coming and going from around different places, kind of the way it is over here. And of course, just like today, a lot of them would lie about how good it was over there because they know you're never going to be there to see it. So they would tell a story and try to build themselves up that they saw something you didn't see. That's happened back then. It happens today. I don't care how much technology you have. That happens today. There were things back then, hard work. They worked from can see to cannot see, and then some. They worked from before daylight till after dark. They did this. A lot of them worked after that. They came back to home. They had to do things at home, you know, weaving and whatever and things and making things so your family could survive the next day. They had to gather food daily. They didn't have stores like we have today. They didn't have refrigerated freezers. Their life was just as challenging as ours is today. Ours just as challenging as theirs was. But they found ways to block other things out and entertain themselves with God. Now, lack for a better word, that was the highlight of their time, of their day, the highlight of their life. That's why when Daniel was put into a cave full of hungry lions, and a big rock was put over it, an angel came and shut their mouths. He didn't look at the lions. He didn't cry out, well, you can't put me in all this. He didn't do that. He simply went, and he trusted in God. When those three boys were shoved in that fiery furnace, it was so hot it killed one of the guards. Just getting them in there. That's hot. And they walked around there like nothing was wrong. But they told that king before he put him in there, He said, you can put us in there, but our God will protect us. And even if he does not, I still will not bow down to you. I'm still going to be faithful to him no matter what. What they're saying is he's going to fix me on this side or the other side, but he's going to take care of me one way or another. I know that. I have that faith. Where did that faith come from? From hearing the word of God, from putting it into practice. I trust in God every single day. Try him out. You know, Christ says, take your yoke and lay it at my feet, because yours is heavy. Take mine. Mine is light. In other words, leave all your problems at my feet. God says, I am everything to everyone through Jesus Christ. We give it lip service, and we don't realize we're doing it. I'm not picking anybody. We do this, not realizing what we're doing. We slip so many times a day because we might need to spend more time on what that scripture says. We may need to talk about it more times during the week. We may need to show that love of people more times during the week. There's a lot of people I don't like. That don't mean I can condemn them or judge them. That is not my point, to like them or not like them. My point is to love the people, that God sort the rest of the stuff out. That's why a lot of people come and gone through. Y'all have heard them. They have different lifestyles or whatever. I still talk to those people. They know I love them as a person. That's putting God's scriptures into action. But they also know I'm not going to change the scripture for them. And they respect that. They still come. They still talk. They still discuss the Bible. They still do the same thing. Why are they going to change it up? That's between them and God, not me. My job is to love them. People do wrong against me. That's okay. God's still there. I don't care anymore. I only believe, the only thing that bothers, that I'm concerned with is God is still there. I don't care about those people. I love them. They go on their way. They go do this thing. I still pray for my own problem. But this kind of deep-seated faith that these people have, people are always, if I don't hear it at least once a week, I hear it 4 or 5 times a week. Why don't those things happen in my life? They do. Why isn't your faith as deep as theirs? You're busy with the world today. You need to be busier with God than you are with the world. You need to cut things off. You need to turn things around. I sit here in a quiet with the TV off. I would turn on, I got to watch news, I see the weather, whatever. I can tell drivers or the weather's going to be, no, they're all excuses. When I turned it off and I sat down, I'm thinking to myself, God, it is so peaceful without that loud noise. That's just an example. You can take things out of your life. You can turn things around. You can keep a lot of things in your life. You have to rearrange it. This is what these people did. There's story after story after story. The same things happen today. And let me tell you a better one than that. When you center and when you work on that depth of your faith and on that quality, not quantity, quality of your faith, when God is the center, when God is what you center on, when you leave it where I've been doing it here, you watch things change. You'll no longer ask, why don't those miracles happen in my life? You realize they've been happening. Your mind was too puzzled up to see them. Things do happen in our lives every single day. We had praise report after praise report tonight, now prayer and praise report time. Lois has that, what it comes on, whatever it is, it'll keep her longer life. Sandy's home from the hospital early. I was told she wouldn't be home till tomorrow. She was home last night. Only God does that. Things are happening in our lives. You guys and girls out there on those trucks, God's keeping things out of your path and keeping you safe. Miracles do happen in your lives. Miracles happen in all of our lives. We have Tatiana, who was really, really sick, almost dead. She's back going and doing good. That's a praise. Things are happening. We just don't always see them because our mind is boggled. We've got so many things distracting us. You know, I sit down after we were blessed to send blankets this week to help people up in those tornadoes. This sister Shirley made. She can't get out of the house very good, but she's blessing people states and states away. And she's going to bless a lot of people up in those hurricane-hit areas. by making blankets out of rags. Those rags that people would throw away. They're changing people's lives. Little babies' lives, little kids' lives. This is how it works. But we need to be ever vigilant. We need to look in the mirror, see that person, remember what that person looked like. We need to ask that person, how deep is your faith? How wide does it go? Every single day I look in the mirror and I ask myself that very question. But just like those blankets, I was going to say, when we sent those blankets out this week, we sent a box out. I knew I had some more here. We sent a box out, oh, well over 20 of them. So I asked Deb, and she's digging around, found a hole enough to fill a whole other box up. We sent it out. And I was sitting there thinking, wow, we're way down here in South Florida, sunny, 60, 80 degree weather this week. And these people up here have lost everything. And we're able to bless them through God working through someone that can't hardly get out of the house and can't hardly go anywhere, through her, through this ministry to those people. Wow. That's deep. That's deep. That's amazing how God does things. But those things do happen to us. We have to get like Daniel and Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego and Job and so many other people in the Bible. We have to get that in our heads. We have to get that deep, that strong, and we have to hold on to it. And we have to learn. I read a lot. I'm reading two different novels at once, and the Bible, and studying the Bible in university. Yeah. But that Bible's a center. I lay the other ones down to read in the Bible or around the Bible and history of the Bible and what it does and things like this. That's the center of what I read. And now that I turn off that addicting boob tube they call it, I know why they call it the boob tube. I had all kind of reasons why I watched the whole time. Now I sit here in my chair and I read the Bible and I doze off and I wake up and I read it some more. Amazing how that works. But look at what happens when you center your life like they did. They centered their life in God. They didn't look at the line. They didn't care what the king was going to do to them. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, no matter what you do, I'm not going to bow down to you. You can put us in that fire. God's going to take care of us. Our God will take care of us. They didn't even look at the fire. Daniel didn't look at the lions. He wasn't worried about the lions. Whatever God's will is what mattered. God will take care of them. But you only give that by doing what they did. Regular times during the day. 1, 2, 3, 4 times, whatever you can do, spend some time with Scripture. 1, 2, 3, 4 times a day, whatever you can, pray to God. And ask God to bless you. He will, and He does. Ask Him to open your eyes up to see the blessings you already have. We have more blessings in this country than anywhere on this planet. But yet we don't see them, and we ask questions. Why don't those things happen for me? Why do we stay those people back in? All those things happen. Why did He do it for me? He is doing it. We don't know how many things that He's kept out in front of us, how many bad things He's kept away from us in our lives. We don't know. Sometimes we think we do, and we may never know, and He might let us know on that day in judgment day. I don't know. But He protects us now. We just need to pay more attention. So tomorrow, when you're talking to each other and you're asking about heroes in the Bible, look in the mirror. Because you see, that's a temple of God, and God is my hero. That's a temple of God. God is my hero. God is my center. Whatever it be. Yeah, I'm away from family and all those kind of things, and I have a child I'd like to see and a grandchild and grandchildren. But God says where I'm at. Every day I ask God's will be done, whatever God wants me at. That's where I'm going to be. And I look at people differently when I do that every day too. I look at their soul. I look at their inside. I look at their needs. I look at how much people have taught them about God and how much they have not. Because this thing about God and Jesus, these scriptures, it's just like anything else. It takes work on your part and work on somebody else's part to work together. God fixes you so you can help fix somebody else. With Carlos, we have this food ministry, this 84-year-old gentleman named Alvarez. You know, that's how we met him. We met him through that. We've met several people. Doug and Shirley have Sandy and some other ones. We have churches. We have a church out here that feeds 7 other small ministries. And you know what? Because of what they're doing, God provided them with a walk-in cooler and a walk-in freezer so they could do that. How God works. All the church had to pay for was the cement, and they had a cement contract that goes to church area. They had a wiring man to go to church area. They're both retired. They know how to do it. They were able to hook it all up. That's how it works. But it's the depth of your faith. How deep does it go? How much are you willing to give for God? How much are you willing to let God fix you, use you to fix someone else? How willing are you? These people were willing to do it. They were so in tune with God. They didn't look at the line. They didn't look at the fire. I cannot imagine. I've seen some hot fires. I cannot imagine that big old hole of fire that it killed a guard, and they still got these 3 men in there. And it amazes me, that kind of heat. But their faith kept them safe. We can have the same thing if we do what they did. We need to center our lives on God, not part of the time, not once a day, once a week. We need to do it every minute that we're awake. We need to concentrate. What are we doing? God, what do you want me to do? What are we doing for God? This is what they did every day. Oh, they each served the king. That's part of life. And they got, you know, God blessed him with knowledge and things like that. Daniel, oh, he could answer a lot of questions. He's really popular out amongst the kingdom. God blessed him with good knowledge. He blesses all of us with good knowledge if we tend to use it. It's up to us. It's up to us. God fixes our want to through Jesus Christ. We can say Jesus can fix your want to. If you really want these things, if you really want that kind of faith, Jesus can fix it. Because God says, I am all things to all people through Jesus Christ. It's not whether or not we can have it. It's that whether or not we want to take it. But I'm warning you, it comes with a cost. It takes effort on each of us part. It takes effort. Bow your head. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the message tonight, Lord. And thanks for this prayer request. And Lord, please touch these doctors and these healers and be your will, Lord. You fix them here or on this side. But Lord, give them peace. Give them relaxation. Give them away from the pain, whatever your choice would be. Thanks for the prayer request. We get more time with Lois and with the praise reports. And we get more time with Sandy, Lord. And pray you're going to be with Maria this week and that we get more time with her and Lord, but whatever your will. But thank you so much for the blessings you give us each day and the ones you'll give us all week long and be with all of our drivers, our first responders. Be with everybody boating this year, Lord. Keep this country going and let's be a beacon on the hill again to the world to teach them the way to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.